Hello, everybody, and welcome back to an all-new episode of Dirtcast. I am your co-host, Madeline Davies.
And I am your other co-host, Megan Reynolds.
Today on the podcast, we are going to be having our very favorite Dodi Stewart on to talk about K-drama,
a passion
of hers.
I'm so excited.
They really just, like, let that breathe, and it can take a whole episode to realize that you're feeling sad.
Megan.
Yes.
Before we get into, like, the lives of Korean teens.
Sure.
Tell me about your life.
I spent too much money on some eyeshadow because Glossier's marketing has finally sunk its claws into my wallet.
It comes for us all.
It does. And I've been getting a lot of shit about it from my sisters who, because I was very vocal, Glossier, like anti-Glossier.
You?
I was.
You disliking something
really,
strongly?
Shut up. So I'm a turncoat. The eyeshadows are fine to good. I think they'll look better on me when I have a tan.
Okay.
Like most things in life.
I have a hard time with makeup that has a caveat.
That's fair. You should, because it should cost money. You shouldn't fucking spend money on something that is like, you can use this, but...
That's not to say that I haven't. I mean,
sure.
I have, like, tons of makeup that I'm like, oh, I can only use this for that. I just, like, try and, you know.
Yeah, I get it.
But I'm excited to try on all of your eyeshadows.
I can't wait. I can't wait to do little makeovers at the office today. but I braved the Glossier showroom, which is, like, my least favorite and my most favorite place.
That makes so much sense.
It's really pretty.
I mean, I think you and I have, like, talked about this in regards to, like, bougie yoga studios.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's like you both love them and hate them at the same time. You being us.
Yes, correct.
Where, like, it's just like you want all the amenities, but then you're like, oh, this is
right.
You guys are all dicks.
Maddie, how are you?
I'm all right. Should I tell them the harrowing news?
Oh my God, please. Because
New York City.
Oh my God.
Has an oat milk shortage. Not oatmeal. You can still make as much oatmeal
as you
want. You
make all the fucking oatmeal you desire.
It has an oat milk shortage. I just learned the barista told me this morning when I asked for an oat milk latte, he said, the whole city's out.
Oh my God. Does oat milk, like, foam?
Yeah, so I've only ever had it in a latte.
You've never had it on its own.
Like, I'm not just gonna, like, drink a glass of oat milk.
Watery and pale.
I had it because the woman at my coffee shop suggested it as, like, a milk substitute. Mm. And she's like, yeah, it's, like, kind of like the creamiest, most milk-like.
Interesting.
Which I don't know why I don't just get, I'm not a vegan. I don't know why I don't just get milk, but it makes you a little gassy in the morning.
It does make you, I will say, as someone who's recently switched back to half and half.
Yeah.
Not awesome.
Yeah. I mean, tastes great.
Tastes great. Just really blowing myself out of the water. I work alone in my bedroom for the first 2 hours of the day.
Just to process that out.
Just if it, so it's fine. So I just get it out before I have to be in public.
That is very funny.
It's gross.
Can I tell a too intimate fart story?
Sure, I love a fart story.
So I've been dating my partner for like 2 years now. And, like, I'm not, like, the type of person who, like is proud of, like, farting in front of, there are those people who just are like, yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
Who's, like, proud of, like, farting in front of somebody.
Sure.
So the other day we were watching a movie, and then he went to go to the bathroom, and I, like, let out, like, a long, mournful fart because I thought
like
he was in the bathroom.
Like an extended version.
And then
an
he just, like,
extended remix.
Leaps out of the bathroom and is like, you were making fun of me. Like he's, like, thought that I did that with my mouth.
Oh,
like, he thought I was, like,
oh, because he was pooping.
He was like, you were trying to, like, make me, like, toilet shy.
Oh, dear.
And I had to tell him, no
it came out my ass.
Truly came out my butt.
Yeah. No, dude, I just farted for, like, a long time.
Yeah, and it was, like, a new level of intimacy.
I love to fart in front of the people I'm dating, and I'm sure they also love that, but I don't care. That is enough about us.
And oat milk.
Oat milk. Gas.
Oat milk
and
does
Glossier.
Not give you the farts.
No, oat milk does not. But if you switch from coconut creamer to half and half, Godspeed for the first week is what I'm saying. It's been hard. Anyway, this is disgusting. You know what else is disgusting, sort of, but dirty?
The dirtiest dirt of the week.
The dirtiest fucking dirt of the week. Let's do it! All right, here's, like, a little spot of dirt on your newly washed car.
Yeah, get out the Tide pen.
Get out the fucking Tide pen.
Scrape that little bit of dirt off that collar.
I feel like we're not well today. I don't know what is going on.
We are not.
So apparently, the news broke on Monday morning that Cameron Diaz, star of The Sweetest Thing, Charlie's Angels, some other movies that I actually can't really think of. What the fuck else is she?
Something about Mary, The
geez,
Mask.
Oh, Louise. Okay, many things. Star of many things.
In Her Shoes.
Please don't talk about that movie in my presence.
I only know Bobby Finger loves it. That's
true.
Wife of Benji Madden.
Oh, yeah.
So Selma Blair told the press that Cameron Diaz was retiring.
Yes. And the press was like, oh, my God, holy shit, she's retiring. Let me write something, blah, 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 blah. Cruel twist, she's not retiring, maybe, because Selma Blair said she was making a joke.
Also, like, why does Selma Blair think she can make that announcement regardless?
I don't know why she would. I mean, I'm sure she said it in context of, like, whatever the interviewer was asking, which is totally fine. But, like, why? I would think if you have been a famous person for some time, you would know better.
Selma Blair's not dating David Foster anymore, right?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I think he's dating Catherine McPhee now.
Oh, he is dating.
He was dating her for like a minute.
He is dating Catherine McPhee. Yeah. Which is fun for everyone there, too. That's
yay. Nice. Yay. I can't think of a couple I would want to have dinner with less.
Than Catherine McPhee and David Foster? Yes. That sounds, I don't know what I would do. I don't know what I would talk about. I would talk about Smash. That's it.
I do love Smash.
Me too. That's like the only thing I could probably carry on a conversation
for. I hate Smash, but I love Smash.
I could talk about Smash for about 5 minutes before, like, pushing my asparagus around my plate and faking a phone call and leaving.
Well, the good news is he likes to just, like, play the piano through his dinner parties, as I've learned through Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
That's lovely. I love live music for my dinner parties.
Yeah, but he doesn't let anyone talk.
Okay. That's okay. But you know what? Great. Selma Blair, you were wrong. Cameron Diaz, you will still have a job.
Yeah. Don't make a retiring announcement for anybody but yourself.
Yeah. Basically, don't speak for others.
And never joke.
And also, don't make jokes.
That was her co-star in The Sweetest Thing.
That's right. Because they were talking about, like, a Sweetest Thing, like, reboot.
But people didn't like that movie.
I don't think I've ever seen it. Or if I did, I turned it off because it was really bad.
I think I saw it, like, a Comedy Central cut.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it was not great.
Yeah. So Cameron Diaz will... We will wait for Cameron Diaz to tell us if she's retiring.
Yeah. Maybe she'll just be starring in Mudbound 2.
Mudbound 2.
That is, I don't know why that is the first thing that came to
that,
mind.
You heard it here first. She's not going to be doing, I don't know. Maybe she's just, maybe she'll come out with a handbag line or something.
Yeah, well, she does like her, like, she has kind of like a lifestyle thing happening.
What is it?
She like made a book about like loving your body. Oh. Which is like a thank you, Cameron Diaz.
Thanks so much. Okay, cool. You know, I wish her the best.
I do too. I got nothing against her.
All I want for anyone that we ever talk about, except for a couple of people, is happiness. And the next person that we're going to talk about is someone that I don't know if, I mean, look, she can be happy. She probably is happy. None of my fucking business. She might be miserable. Her name is Taylor Swift. I had so much coffee this morning. I made a very strong pot of coffee this morning and I feel insane. Taylor Swift has released, she was either nominated or like won something at the We Heart Radio.
The iHeart Radio.
The iHeart. Oh, not we. I only iHeart Radio.
You heart it. We don't.
I do. It's true.
Not like the royal we.
She was nominated. She won some shit at this fucking award show. She was not there. In lieu of showing up, there was like a pre-recorded video of her being like, oh my God, thank you. And then she premiered this music video
for Delicate.
Delicate.
So Reputation is the album. I think because like, Look What You Made Me Do was so bad.
It was.
I was just like, this is going to be a disaster. And then it ended up being like kind of okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do really like that song, that Delicate.
Delicate.
Which is what the video is.
It's like a bargain basement lucky.
Yeah.
In
it's
my
like
opinion.
Kind of the perils of
the perils
fame.
Of fame situation. I feel like every famous pop star at some point in their life is like required since Britney Spears did Lucky.
Lucky is so good.
Iconic. Truly. But in this video, she like, I watched it this morning because I didn't watch it when it came out because I could not And then I watched it for research purposes. She is like at a gala and everyone's ignoring her. And
well,
help. I fast forwarded to the dance part, if I'm being completely honest.
So it starts that she's at a gala. Yes.
I was right. Okay.
But one point. It's the opposite of everyone ignoring her.
Oh, they're
it's
not
that
ignoring
everybody,
her
like,
yet.
Wants a piece of her and she can't get away from her bodyguards and like everybody's like freaking out about her. Someone hands her a magic envelope.
What?
Yes. And it makes her invisible. Which leads to a very wacky modern dance sequence where she's dancing around the city.
She is.
Invisible to everyone.
In bare feet in the subway.
Yeah, that
and
part
on
was,
the streets. That was upsetting.
Definitely gross, but.
Could have put her in a jazz shoe. Thought that would have been
slipper.
Fine. A slipper, something. A flip-flop,
I would have accepted.
A Birkenstock. Some Tevas for sport.
And it's like, is it a Joseph Kahn video? No.
No, isn't it Spike Jonze?
No, Spike Jonze did the commercial.
Oh, that's right, which we will get to. And then I bet it is Joseph Kahn because he's like obsessed with her.
Yeah, they are like
they like love to
love
work
to
together.
Mutually
be gross. And
yeah, support each other's bad ideas.
Right. So,
but the ish.
Yes.
It's not even an ish.
It's like a note. It's
is
not
that
an issue.
Kenzo, the fashion line. Mm-hmm. Put out a very similar commercial a few years ago directed by Spike Jonze.
That's
starring Margaret Qualley, star of The Leftovers, daughter of Andie MacDowell.
Oh, okay.
She's also a trained ballerina.
She's a very good dancer. She's charming.
They had done like a video that is, it is like, it's not just closely similar.
Like it's like pretty fucking similar.
Yeah, it is like, clearly they ripped it off.
Right.
But Kenzo was just like, whatever, I don't know.
Kenzo said, it's hard to stay fresh.
So rude.
I love it. I will say that if I was forced to say something kind about the Delicate video, which I'm forcing myself to do, I will say that it's nice and fun to watch performers who are like not good at choreo do it.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift also does like a pretty passable split on the hood of a car.
Yeah.
Like Tawny Catane.
I know you guys were all talking about how bad her dancing was, but I thought it was all right for like what it needed to be.
I mean, it was what it needed to be. It was not, I mean, Taylor Swift is never going to be like a Beyonce, like dance-wise.
No, she's like not a dancer.
No, she's not a dancer.
But I thought like for someone who just like learned a modern dance routine,
right.
It could have been worse.
It could have been worse. It also could have not existed, which would have been better.
Okay, confirmed. Okay. Joseph Kahn did direct
the video. Oh, was Joseph Kahn?
Didn't he rip off the Bad Blood video, too, from, like, a girl K-pop fan?
Yes, I think so.
God, this guy has a rip.
He's an issue. And he's, like, and he always will take to Twitter in a very dramatic fashion to defend his muse, Taylor, and then also, like, his ideas, which he's taken from other people.
Here's what I say. Come at us, Joseph.
Okay.
You fucking are ripping off people left and right.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy.
It is. It's stupid.
And, like, no one is like, please stop.
Yeah, it's very strange to me. And I don't know if it's because, like, Taylor Swift has such a, I don't know, maybe she's, like, helping him.
Maybe.
Like, not, like, legally, money-wise. I don't fucking know. In any case, she made a video. You can watch it if you desire. As I just proved, I really only fast-forwarded to the dance part because I fucked it up.
Yeah, but you
I,
could watch it better than Megan.
You could, which is, you could do most things better than me watching this music video.
No. They can't make coffee like you can.
That's true. No, because it produces this drivel.
We are
the real Brady Bros.
Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg. And who were you again?
I played Peter.
We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of the Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why the Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the real Brady Bros.
This what other thing is dumb and brief? So, and I just thought it was really funny, but they're doing like a live concert version of Beauty and the Beast of the Disney version.
Yeah, they do this at the Hollywood Bowl, yeah. I think, fairly frequently. Yeah. Not of Beauty and the Beast, but of like various
Disney things. Yeah. They did it for Little Mermaid. I don't remember who was, I think Titus Burgess was in it, like a bunch of people, whatever. They're making Rebel Wilson play LeFou.
In Beauty and the Beast.
In Beauty and the Beast.
You're not, I mean,
I'm sure she was like, I'll play LeFou. I really want to. This seems fine. I just think it's really, I think it's rude.
Yeah.
To Rebel Wilson.
It is rude. But I also bet that she was like, so in.
She was probably really excited for it. I just think it's rude. That's
maybe
all.
They were like, do you want to play Belle? And she said, no, I want to play LeFou.
Do you want to play Gaston? And she was like, no, I'll play LeFou.
I'll play LeFou.
Like, do you want to be the Credenza? Like, no, the Credenza. No, I'll be LeFou.
Who is Gaston again? It's some. Oh, Taye Diggs.
Taye Diggs.
Which makes, I feel like that's very similar to Benny from Rent in attitude.
Oh, nice.
So I'm like, it makes sense.
It's true. And then isn't Belle Zooey Deschanel? Deschanel.
Oh, okay. I mean, she kind of looks like the cartoon.
She does. But like, I can't, I'm just picturing her singing as she and him singing,
yeah, that's what I was thinking
songs,
too.
And it's not working for me.
Yeah, like, I want adventure. Do, 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 do.
A very sort of tremulous voice
I
over
want,
like.
Do, 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 adventure. Do, do,
over
do,
like,
do,
a pl- like a ukulele.
Yeah. Flunky, flunky, oh. Flunky, flunk.
I'm sure it'll be great. I can't wait to watch people post clips of it on Twitter.
My
I'm
best friend,
forward to it.
Kelsey Grammer, is in it.
Oh my God.
My best friend slash enemy. Mm. Just kidding. We're not best friends. We are only enemies.
That is true. Confirmed. So Rebel Wilson will be LeFou. Other people will be other things. Congratulations to everyone for continuing to get work.
Yes. Congratulations, successful actors. You are still successful.
I've checked on your success and you are still successful. And
this sounds like a very fun thing.
It sounds great.
I shan't be going.
I will not attend, but.
But if you want to give me a free ticket,
yeah,
I'll airfare
fucking go.
To LA.
Yeah, I'll go. It's fine.
I will go.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Only if my dinner reservation at Sir allows it.
Oh, that's. That's our dirt cast on the road, is that we go to Sir and then we go to the fucking
a
dream.
Someone fund that, please.
Please help. Okay, no. Last item.
Finally.
A
TV network has launched for you, listeners. It is a TV network for Scientologists.
Okay. It's called Scientology TV.
Yeah, Kirstie Alley is like real pumped
Super
about
pumped.
It.
Yep. It premiered on Monday night.
Yeah.
On a variety of streaming platforms.
Their recent marketing push has been very odd to me. Like, they ran that ad during the Super Bowl that was like, curious?
Oh,
come check it out.
Oh, that's right.
It's like, what do they do in there?
You know, have you met a Scientologist?
Yeah, like, what do they believe?
And it's just like, their whole thing is like not providing answers. So what would checking it out do for you?
You're just gonna find like layers upon layers of like confusion.
Right. It's like, yeah, pay more money and then
and, like,
you
deception.
Maybe find out a little bit more.
And it's weird because like it's not like people don't know about Scientology, like what they do or they are about.
Yeah. I mean, I think going clear like really
like, fuck shit
dealt
up.
A blow to them.
Yeah.
Like to like an already suffering organization.
Right.
I mean, we've talked about this before where we had Tony Ortega on and he's the leading journalist in Scientology. And he was saying like their members are like, it's in the thousands. It's not, they don't have
tens of thousands.
Yeah. It's like dying off basically.
Mm.
And then they have, of course, bad PR.
Right.
Unless you're in the religion, in which case you're like, it's fine.
Right.
Yeah. And then it's just like, now they're just like, please join us. Look at this TV.
Xenu.
Yeah. Praise Xenu.
Praise Xenu. I mean, the only way that it could work is if they're like real, if they are reality shows.
The only way it would work for me is if it was just like following around Shelley Miscavige. Or like the show's just called like, where's Shelley?
Oh my God. It's 24-hour programming of where's Shelley? It's just various people being like, Shelley, Shelley, Shelley.
Yeah, it was like opening cupboards.
Like opening cupboards, like looking in dumpsters, like Shelley in their bed. Like,
yeah.
I would watch that for like an hour.
Yeah. I would just have it like a live feed. Like, you know,
that'd
how like Big Brother has the live feeds.
Yeah.
I would just have that.
I mean, this feels like a last ditch, like a desperate sort of clawing.
Yeah.
Because I mean, what if when Tom Cruise dies, Does Scientology also die?
Who can say?
That's true.
But you're being a real suppressive bitch right now.
Something I've heard a lot.
Yeah. Also, if you like want to know more about Scientology, our episode on it titled Just Xenu It is very, very good. And I say that as like someone who's interested in it, not as someone who's like peddling my own show. Wink.
On Oops the Podcast, join me, comedian Giulio Gallerati, as I examine everyday life, the mistakes, the bad decisions, the goals, the jokes, the social engagements, and all things in between. I'm joined every week by producer and personal confidant Ryan Lynch, various other comedians, for witty, candid, and intoxicating conversation. Our listeners love Oops for sophisticated banter, aka your mom could listen, and many feel like they're in the room with us chopping it up with old pals. You can find every episode of the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube.
So, on last week's episode, we were focusing on British teen dramas.
We were.
We mentioned our good friend Dodi Stewart, who happens to love Korean teen dramas. Mm-hmm. I got a text from Dodi saying, I will be on your show if you want me to.
Hey, do you want me on your show?
And we thought, why not?
Sure.
So we have her back, Dodi Stewart.
Hi.
Yay.
I think I just said, yeah, no, you're right.
Is that maybe what you said?
I said, possibly. Have me on anytime, like yeah. as an open invitation.
You were opening yeah. the door.
Well, yes. I didn't want it to sound like you were like being like, please, you know, like it was
there's
like
no, like begging involved. Like,
hey, if you ever want me to talk about this subject.
You were just being genial.
I just got super excited because you were talking about all my faves. Yeah. Skins, mm-hmm. Mad Fat Diary, mm-hmm. Misfits.
Oh, yeah.
I love all those guys.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know that. You yeah. need it.
Yes.
Okay. Hello.
Birmingham.
Wow. Oh. Perfect. Accents 101 over here. Really good stuff.
But you are the person I know who... I know, like, a few people who are really into K-drama, mm-hmm. and you are the person, one, who I know best, and two, who knows, seems to know the most.
Oh, okay. Oh,
okay, there
so
we go. All right, here we
it's
go.
It's kind of, like, balls rolling. Fortunate for me.
Right. Yes.
So, my first question is, how did you get into these Korean teen shows? And also, please name some of your favorites.
Okay. Well, it happened the way a lot of things do, which is that I was on a site known as Google.
It's a casual little site. You may have heard of it. It's
and I think it was
spell that for me.
Yeah. I'll put it in the show notes.
Please do. Thank you.
It was either January or February. It was yeah. there was some kind of apocalyptic weather event happening, Snowmageddon or something, and I knew that I was going to be indoors for an extended amount of time. And I was like, I really did Google, like, what to binge watch.
Oh, my God. Wow. I love that.
But I knew also that I was looking for something specific, maybe not in terms of exact content, but I didn't want it to be, like, serial killers or, like, homeland. Like, I didn't want to – I had no wars. Like, right. I just wanted something, like, a little bit light, but, like, maybe melodramatic, but right. not, like –
something, like, engrossing but kind of silly.
Yeah.
That, like, didn't, like, make you feel bad.
Exactly. And also a little bit escapist because mm-hmm. I didn't want to do, like, a reality show
right.
or – yeah, nothing about, like, real-world events that will – you know, make Bum me more out. Depressed.
You had
yeah.
like a very specific idea of how you wanted to feel while watching
that's
the
right.
show.
And I do think the escapist part was a big part of it because I ended up on some list of things to binge watch on Netflix. And I think it was on Refinery 29, actually. And like, I hated most of the suggestions. But one of the suggestions was Boys Over Flowers. Uh-huh. And I was like, what? What's this? And they described
boys.
It as, I know.
Flowers.
I do like boys. And they described it as
kind of like the Korean Gossip Girl, which it's not, but that is a good selling point.
The closest,
like me, you love Gossip Girl.
Right, it's the closest analogy that you could make.
Well, and you love K-pop.
I love K-pop.
So it's sort of like a marriage.
Yeah,
of,
I mean, they sort of, right. But I have to say that the K-drama came first.
Oh.
I started watching Boys Over Flowers, and at first I was like, this is ridiculous. And then episodes went by, and I was super engrossed in John D's life. And the F4, which is like the group of hot guys at her school, and all their melodramatic moments, and the one guy who only wears white and plays violin in the forest crying.
Amazing. Fucking amazing. So good.
Just so good. And then what happened was when I finished, I was like, where is season two? And then I learned the second thing that is my favorite thing about these K-dramas, which is they're all really only one season. So,
when you're done,
you're done. But that means you can, like, move on to another one and move on to another one, like, new characters. So the second one I watched was The Heirs, which is also a Gossip Girl-ish. I mean, it's a prep school. It has a very similar premise to Boys Over Flowers, but the production value is better and the acting is better. The boys are cuter. Well, one of the boys is the same boy.
I was going to say, I know.
That fucked me up.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, wait a minute. You? What are you doing? I was talking to my friend. I was like, it's a prequel. And he was like, no, it's not. It's just the same dude. And I was like, okay, I'm ready. Gotta go. Sorry. Goodbye.
Yeah. Lee Min Ho. He's so famous. And in Korea, he's like on every billboard, you know, holding beauty products or like a soft drink or something.
He's beautiful.
He's very handsome.
Yeah. That perm, though. That Boys Over Flowers perm.
Yeah.
It's extremely upsetting.
Yeah.
And amazing.
It's ridiculous. But that, I think that's what I like about it. There's like nothing about it is like realistic.
That's the one where he's like wearing like a fur collar over his uniform.
Yeah. He's not even wearing a uniform.
He's wearing just like an outfit.
Yeah.
Just he's wearing a Tuesday look or something.
Yeah. and a coat with a fur collar.
And this like insane part. Like my mom had that hair for like the majority of my childhood. It is incredible. Like the color is that like very specific, like old Asian lady color. And so is like the curl pattern and the texture. Just, it was really arresting.
He spent a lot of time with a large barrel curling iron every day on set.
Sure as fuck did.
Dang.
How else would you achieve that?
You actually like kind of preempted this next question of mine, which is Heirs, which is this, we asked for some suggestions from Dodai before she came on. And so we watched a couple episodes of, I mean, I'm gonna admit, I watched one.
I watched one episode of Heirs.
I didn't realize it was an hour.
Also, I had the same. I had the same realization.
Yes.
I loved it. I watched it.
Even though you didn't really understand. I mean, the premises are so complicated.
It is and it isn't.
I think it's pretty complicated. Okay. It is simple, which is like it's a rich guy and a poor girl. But I think really at the core of it is like, what if you meet Prince Charming and he's a total dick? Which is also the core of Boys Over Flowers.
Right.
So the hero is the first son in a like conglomerate family. And then there's the poor girl who's our heroine.
Oh my God. I can't with her.
And her sister's getting married in California, and she's living this kind of like life where she has like three different jobs, and her mom is a maid, and her mom is also mute, and everything sucks. And her mom is like, can you take this money and wire it to your sister in California? And instead of wiring it, she just gets on a plane and actually goes to California, runs away. And while she's there, she meets the rich guy who's kind of like vacationing from his life in Korea. And they have like an adventure there, but it's fraught with tension. She doesn't really know who he is, and he doesn't really know who she is. When they get back, they're in the same school, and her mother is his maid.
They live in like a broom closet or something.
Yes, she lives in like a windowless room.
They live in like what looks like the podcast studio, but like full of, but like worse and full of like clothes hanging up.
But they've already made this connection in California, so he feels some sort of need to protect her while she's in school because the school is very classist. And if you're not old money or new money, then you must be a quote-unquote social case.
Yep.
And that's like the worst possible thing to be.
Right.
Yeah, and she's there on scholarship, right?
That's right.
She's a social case.
The scene I watched was when the guidance counselor was like, ah, you're here on scholarship.
Yeah.
She, and then like, the kid with the glasses was like, what? And then like scurried off to like tell some shit.
Yeah. I mean, some a little bit of backstory is that the rich guy's father is the one who supplied this scholarship because he sort of feels some type of way about having them living in his house. Like her mother lives in the house as the maid. And also he can tell that there's something going on between his son and this girl. And he thinks like, well, I'll just like make her a scholarship case. And then he really won't want to date her.
Wow. Oh, so it's not to like bring them closer together.
No, of course not. No. It's all about class.
Yeah.
And I love a show that's all about class so explicitly. It was, I mean, I was so happy just to watch it.
Very much like really that. Nice. In keeping with like the American tradition of teen dramas where all of these kids look like they're in their late 20s. And also, like, there's, like, the parent drama.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is, like, kind of the downfall of any American show is when they start relying too much on the parent drama.
Right.
Like, when, like, the OC got, like, too into, like, what Caleb Nichol was doing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they definitely have, they're definitely given equal amounts of screen time and the plots are very intertwined. But what I like is there's never a moment where a parent is, like, and that's why you have to be nice to people. Like,
there's no teachable
there
moment.
There are no, like the more you know lessons coming from adults. It's like always the kids are the smarter ones with, like, better hearts, and the adults are, like, evil and corrupt.
And, like, caricatures.
Yes,
yes,
which I love.
Yeah. I think the scene there was, like, a scene with the moms, the two moms who are fighting over the rich son. Mm-hmm. They're, like, pulling each other's hair, and it was delightful.
Yeah, they're petty, and they hold grudges, and they're ridiculous.
So a dumb question that I have that I think I've already answered for myself in my head is every single K-drama as dramatic and like over the, like, does everyone feel so much all the time everywhere?
Yes.
That's so nice.
I know. I think that's what I like about it is I think that one of the reasons that I gave you guys like a suggestion of an episode is because look, it's like no one dies.
Nope. No.
There are no car chases. Nope.
It's so tame.
It's very, like, the drama is literally just like being in your feelings.
Amazing.
And there's a scene where
which I think all three of us can relate
to. Yeah. That's what I really like. They really just let that breathe, and it can take a whole episode to realize that you're feeling sad or you're feeling in love, you know?
So good.
You just like really wallow in it. And there's a scene where the two, you know, kids first kiss, and it's like on a rooftop of the school, She runs up there all sad.
Saw that.
And there are like 11 different camera angles.
Yes.
Yes.
It's like
so funny.
She drops her phone finally.
Right. Like, and I feel like that is the epitome of like what it is. It's like, let's take this moment and stretch it out to be what could be like a 2-second thing and stretch it out to like 15 or 20 minutes.
It's also like the actual kiss itself is like very tame.
Yeah,
like,
it was hilarious.
It's just like, mouth touching.
It's like pressing lips. There's no tongue. Nothing's moving on the face.
No.
They're like locked in place with the camera, like the drones and the whatever can like get all of the fucking shots. Yeah. And then she finally drops her phone, which is like, but then you get close and you just see that he's just like
very just touching her. It's so chaste. Yeah.
They're
it's very, very chaste.
I think
that's my favorite part is just that they let those moments, I feel like that's what it feels like to be a teen.
Yeah.
And so is that like, this moment is monumental, like where you're just freaking out over the smallest thing. And I think, because it's not small, it's like, it's kind of
like
huge.
The biggest thing that's ever happened to you.
And so, I feel like the way that they do this over the top production value really is just like pays homage to, you know, teenage emotions.
So like what it actually
is. Well, and everything in your life feels so dramatic.
Right.
And again, that's not, I don't say that in a condescending way.
No.
It is dramatic.
Yes.
And then also just like your parents are caricatures who are just like telling you what to do or, you know, like meddling.
And they don't really understand your life and the choices that you have to make, and you're like hiding things from them. And I mean, I also think what is interesting, and this might be slight South Korean propaganda. Oh, I don't know.
Nice.
Is that, you know, even though they're kind of miserable, there's a lot of love between Cha Eun-sang and her mother, where and they have no money, but they have like a very loving relationship. And even when she's mad at her, she's not mad at her very long. And like they really trust and depend on each other. Mm. And then the rich family is like a total mess. Like, no disgusting. One loves anybody. Right. They're all backstabbers. Right. And so it's also this thing of like, you may think being rich looks great and perfect, but like it's money's not the answer, you know?
Right.
Which I think is interesting also.
A parallel that's coming up for me just discussing this now is, and maybe this is way out there, but it's almost kind of like Twin Peaks-ish without the murder.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know how like everything in Twin Peaks is really theatrical?
Yeah. And sort like, of fraught with meaning and...
Yeah. And there's like kind of like the doe-eyed like motorcycle guy who's just like so dumb. But it's like, he's just, I don't know.
I wouldn't blame you if you hated me.
James, I know what you were feeling. I was feeling it too. Evelyn just took advantage of it.
Well, it was wrong and I should have known that.
There is sort of this weird... Almost as much as like a Gossip Girl, it sort of resonates with that like over the top thing.
Theatricality and this sort of like, it's not that it's slow because a lot of things happen, but it does take its time in laying it out. And I do think that like the Lynchian sort of pacing of just like let things play out and like don't rush it is it is similar in that way.
Yeah, and so much is happening.
Right, right.
Just like.
I think it's great that they are really only one season, though.
I do, too.
Like, that's so nice.
Yeah, because there's nothing more satisfying than a complete story that has, like, a beginning and a middle and an end.
Yeah.
And American TV will just, like, wring things out until you don't care
until
anymore.
You're like, I hate this show.
I hate everyone on it. Mm-hmm. And, like, bring in new people that are supposed to reinvigorate. And it's like, why? You know?
No.
And this is just, like, you have a point and we're going to travel to it. And you're going to, like, get there. And you're going to feel a certain way. And then you're going to, like, free to live your life.
Yeah.
And watch another one.
And then there's more.
So... One thing that I find very interesting about Korean pop culture is the mandatory military service that everyone has to do. Mm-hmm. Or is it just the men? I don't.
It's just the men.
All the men have to do. So it's like there was one K-pop star who like recently had like was like.
G-Dragon.
Who like suddenly just was like, yeah, we're like at our peak success, but I got to go be in the military.
Yeah.
And like I was
all
reading
about. All the Big Bang guys are going in. Yeah.
And I was reading about Lee Min Ho.
Yeah.
How he. Was doing his mandatory military service, and there was like a broker who was selling access to him on his military base.
Whoa,
that's amazing.
That was like, and it was like over $400, like just like for these girls to go
and sin. That's incredible.
And it's not like he's in a country that has an under any threat of nuclear.
My God.
Just saying.
Yeah, I don't. But yeah, it was very weird. Like his like. I guess he's on a record label too. Mm-hmm. And they were like, we do not support this. This puts us in, you know, but.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happened is that I watched Boys Over Flowers and the guy who wears white and plays violin sadly in the forest.
My friend.
I Googled him because I was like, well, what else does he do?
And what do you do?
And then it turned out that he had a bunch of music videos. And that's how I ended up on the K-pop trip. And I didn't really like his music videos, but it was like one thing led to another. Again, this was a very long winter.
It was a long time. It was, you know what? It was cold outside.
Yeah, and that's how
I did what you needed to do.
Exactly.
I did read that Lee Min Ho was like, he has a very cushy job in the military because he was in a car accident with a fellow K-drama star in like 2013, and he hurt his leg, so he can't like do the hard stuff.
It's okay.
Poor guy.
Yeah, it sounds like mean, life is not great for him.
I mean, whatever.
Just kidding. It sounds like he's doing great.
He's doing good.
Yeah. Also, he has those cheekbones, so.
Yeah,
really
you could just
does.
Like balance a glass on them.
There's just, they all look so good.
Yeah, very attractive.
They're so handsome.
Quote unquote teens.
Yeah. Also, his legs are so long and he's like 6'2". It's just like when I watch those things and he's like in his like little
pants.
Yeah, like prep school uniform. I'm like, what is going on here?
He's
so tall. His legs are so long. And he's like running up the stairs in the high school and it's like he's like a fully grown adult. What's happening?
I'm not going to say that Dodai has a type.
Oh, interesting. Curious.
Good. Don't say that.
Okay. I have, I think, probably a final question.
Cool.
What is like a good If someone knew nothing about this, as we did briefly, what would be like a good, like a starter pack, like show-wise?
Yeah, I mean, I think The Heirs is a good way to start, especially because it's not the episode that you watch, but the first episode is in California, so it's like slightly more accessible. For me, it's not weird to watch people like in Seoul and doing But like if other people are like, well, what's going on?
Like, why is it not speaking?
Like seeing him surfing in Malibu should definitely draw you in.
Cool. I mean, I'm not kidding when I say I'm sold. Don't I?
Yes.
You have enlightened us greatly.
I can't.
Truly, like, there's, like, times where you feel like you've, like, learned a lot, and that is today.
I did learn. I learned some
things. And if there are listeners out there that want suggestions of other things to watch, just, like, tweet me or something, because I can't mention them all here, but Mary Stays Out All Night is really good. It's like a 20-something one with rock stars, and they're all drunk all the time.
Nice.
There's so many good ones.
Tweet at her.
Tweet at Dodai. You heard it here first. That's all she wants. Just tweet at her.
I want other things. I'm just saying I will gladly recommend some K-drama.
Thank you so much for listening to Dirtcast, and thank you to Dodai Stewart. Our show is produced by Levi Sharp. Madana Mofidi is our executive director of audio. Our theme music is by Stuart Wood. This episode was mixed by Jamie Collazo. Want to send us a tip or just let us know what you think? Hit us up at dirtcast@jezebel.com. You can find us on Spotify, NPR One, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.